It has been 40 years since Patti Smith made her stamp on rock and roll with her album Horses.
Was at the stadium, 20,000 girls calling me out to me.
Some of you might remember the cover of this album. It is Patti Smith in black and white, slouched against a wall wearing a buttoned-up shirt and suspenders. Robert Mapplethorpe took that photograph. In 2010, Patti Smith's book about their relationship, Just Kids, spent 42 weeks on the bestseller list and won a National Book Award. Now Smith has a new book out, a poetic, free-flowing memoir. It is called M Train.
It's like a mental train, you know, a train of thought. It's a mystery train. I just hopped on the train and see where I went every day. I wrote it in a cafe every day.
So NPR's Netta Ulaby met Patti Smith in a cafe in New York.
We met at the Why Not Cafe on the Lower East Side, a neighborhood filled with early 1970s memories.
Robert Mapplethorpe and I used to come in this area to buy weird things that nobody would want, you know, like rolls of burlap or potato bags.
For his art projects.
I would just want coffee. As long as I got a cup of black coffee, he could get the art supplies.
It's impossible to overstate how strongly Smith feels about coffee. She likes it black and weak. Coffee's a recurring theme in her new memoir, her favorite cafes, her travels to Mexico to buy beans at the source, and her long-standing ambition to be a coffee purveyor.
I had a desire to open my own cafe since I started reading Paul Bowles' books.
Bowles wrote about expatriate life in Morocco, where the cafes are as simple as the one Patti Smith can imagine owning.
You know, wide plank, clean, glowing floors, some wooden tables, a place where people could write and think and daydream, and maybe some pictures of Baudelaire or somebody hanging on the wall. And just honest coffee. It wouldn't be a place to get frappuccinos and stuff like that.
Smith's new book is digressive and impressionistic. It's a travel diary in some ways, and a trip through her mind. She remembers pilgrimages to the far-off graves of famous writers, or joining an obscure society of philosophers and scientists called the Continental Drift Club, or the time she sang rock songs late into the night with chess prodigy Bobby Fischer. It's nothing like her last memoir.
This book is really a mystery to me. I wrote Just Kids because Robert asked me the day before he died to write it. It took me years and years and years to craft that book and try to do it in a manner, first of all, for Robert. With this book, I just began writing it, so I don't have any idea, like, why or for who, except I read it, so I hope people like it.
Compared to her bestseller, Just Kids, M Train is much less structured.
I wrote whatever came to mind. It had no outline. I just wanted to keep writing and writing and writing, no editing, and just go on and on and on.
What might sound like an editor's nightmare was a dream come true for Kevin Burke. He copy-edited M Train.
Patti Smith is somebody who's been important to me since her first albums. Even like the liner notes just introduced me to so much that I hadn't experienced before, particularly writers like Genet or Rimbaud.
Burke said one of the pleasures of copy-editing this book was learning about a new set of Patti Smith's enthusiasms. Arcane German romanticists, a Japanese writer named Yonosuke Atagawa, and detective shows. But Burke was intimidated about fact-checking Patti Smith.
Because, you know, that's a voice that I've been hearing since, you know, for 40 years. And so to have that person in front of me in the beginning was a little bit difficult because I was just, like, kind of staring at her and not really paying attention to what she was saying. But she changes the atmosphere of her room when she comes in. She's got a really sweet energy about her. And so I was nervous until she showed up.
One of Patti Smith's goals with this memoir was to write about her late husband, Fred Sonic Smith.
Because most people don't know him.
Fred Smith played guitar in MC5, the influential early punk band.
Ramble, ramble, far, far, far.
Smith died in 1994 of heart failure. He'd been with Patti Smith since 1976. She followed him to Detroit and pretty much dropped out of the music scene for years. In her new book, she writes about mending his clothes and adopting his interests, the Detroit Tigers and boating, which seems removed from the subversive spirit she conveyed as a musician.
Well, you know, I do have the sense of, like, giving the male his due, you know. I mean, you look at the lioness. She is really, you know, I was really the one that held the reins in the household, but he was our king, you know. And that's like lions, you know. The king sort of sits there being king. You know, he has this beautiful mane, and he watches over everybody, but it's the mother, the lioness, who goes out and, you know, finds the food and drags it back and gives it to the kids. But he was our king.
It's Patti Smith's loves and what she thinks about that fill M. Train's pages. She devotes an entire chapter to the TV show The Killing. She loves it so much, she sent a fan letter to the show's producer and ended up on set for a cameo.
The role I was born to play, a neurosurgeon, of course.
Treating a suspect with suspicious memory loss.
It seems limited to the emotionally traumatic event, the shooting, the day of.
But he could be faking it, right?
That's correct, but I really don't think he's faking.
Smith thinks detective work is a lot like being a poet. It's a vocation that's observant and relentless. You have to soldier through hardship.
Even in the pages of this book, I had some things that happened that were a little rough here and there. Well, I mean, they canceled The Killing.
Deaths of beloved TV shows aside, Smith writes movingly about losses, objects, places, and growing old without some of the people she's loved most. She opens the memoir and reads a passage.
What I have lost and cannot find, I remember. What I and I cannot see, I attempt to call. Working on a string of impulses, bordering illumination. I believe in movement. I believe in that light-hearted balloon, the world. I believe in midnight and the hour of noon.
Patti Smith, romantic optimist, says sometimes this can feel like a terrible world. But for everything bad,
there's a million really exciting things, you know, whether it's somebody puts out a really great book, there's a new movie, there's a new detective, the sky is unbelievably golden, you know, you have the best cup of coffee you ever had in your life.
A million things, and many of them are in Patti Smith's new book. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.